Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in us. Thank you for what you intend to do through us in the days to come. We thank you for your goodwill in our midst and how that your mighty hand has been our stay over and above the attempts of the enemy on our lives. One more time, we celebrate you and we magnify your great name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I think the devil has gone on rampage, because the news we get to hear, the feedback, the update, terrible news, but we will dwell under his shelter in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Job chapter 1, don't forget, Job chapter 1, verse 1, we established yesterday that the spiritual covering called the hedge is occasioned by a personal life of moral rectitude. And we can see that in the book of Job chapter 1, verse 1. He had a fourfold quality that was responsible for his covering. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, that's number one, and upright, number two, one that feared God, number three, and eschewed evil. Now, before we go to the second point, which is the second type of spiritual covering, the first type of spiritual covering is called the hedge. And we have seen that the hedge has dimensions. The hedge has dimensions, all right? And all of that spiritual infrastructure is occasioned by a life of alignment, a life of uprightness, a life that is not in violation to the principles of God. All right? So, we are going to investigate these four properties that the Bible says that Job had. First of all, the Bible reveals that Job was perfect. What does it mean to be perfect? Perfect. Job was what? Seems you are weak. So what does it mean when the Bible says that someone is perfect? Okay. In order not to trouble you for too long, just go to the book of James chapter 3 verse 2. James chapter 3 verse number 2. Now the Bible says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. If you offend not in word, the same, the Bible says, is a perfect man and he is capable of bridling the whole body. Now, the concern here is the ability to bridle. That's the concern in this scripture. And that if by any means you have control, you do not offend in your words, it means you have gained absolute mastery and you have the capacity to be able to bridle other appetites that can stand in the way of your exposure. Now, are you with me? You must understand that in spiritual matters, I have sat in the place of counseling for so many years, and I've listened out on people trying to tell their story and all of that, and I found out that most often people use their mouths to open the door to the devil. Most often. The fact that if you have grown, one of the evidences of spiritual growth is revealed in the usage of your tongue. Part of the reason why Zechariah was made dumb was because he had inherent in him the capacity to stand against the fulfillment of the things that God wanted to do in the life of John the Baptist. So he had to be helped not to interfere with God's program. And the sovereign help of God was revealed in a temporary dumbness. If you see the time that the serpent had a discussion with the woman in the Garden of Eden, you will find that there were many gaps in Satan's data bank. Maybe we should check that. There were many gaps in Satan's data bank. Are you with me in the book of Genesis chapter 3? Let us check the gaps in Satan's data bank. And most of the time, if Satan wants to launch an attack, he needs your help to cooperate with him in order for him to succeed in attacking you. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Now let's investigate this question. What I think happened is that when God called Adam and was giving him instructions about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I believe that Satan was watching. See, but Satan could not hear what God was telling Adam. So it was like this. God will point Adam and point him like this. And point to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So when the guy came, he didn't really understand what communication transpired. So he came with a question. And he said, had God said, see his question revealed that he doesn't have all knowledge. Had God said that ye shall not eat, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This guy doesn't, this question is designed to draw, to enhance, to create a platform for you to give him accurate information so that he can be adequately armed to now attack you. Most of the errors that we make that put Satan on the advantage comes because we do not understand the significance of words in opening doors for the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says that a man that doesn't offend in word, that man has gone through a lot of training. And if he had come to a point where he doesn't offend in word, it is proof enough that he had capacity to bridle every other part of the body. Mastery of the use of your tongue is an indication that you have secured mastery for every other appetite that is attached to your frame. So when we talk about perfection in the context of spiritual warfare and defense, we are saying such men that have come to a level that Satan can no longer trick them to use their own vocal cord to provide the information that he needs in order for him to form a weapon against them. Because when he showed up in the Garden of Eden, he did not have all knowledge. He wanted to update his data bank so that it will become sufficient to adequately attack Adam and Eve. And he needed Adam and Eve's help to accomplish that. The Bible says that anyone that does not offend in word, the same is a perfect man. And that man has ability to bridle every other aspect of the body. Are you still with me? You are not with me. Did you get that? So the emphasis is bridle. If you have mastered the use of your tongue in such a way that you do not offend with it, you do not create premise for the devil to gain advantage by means of the usage of your tongue, it is an indication of the fact that you have gained mastery in many other areas of your life. Satan is such a creature that leverages. He's a master of leveraging. So if there's an appetite that is at work in your life that you have not yet bridled, Satan is going to leverage on your use, on your dependence, on your inability to tame that appetite. He's going to leverage upon it to ensnare your life. So the perspective of a perfect man is a man that is fully bridled and fully under the regulation of the Holy Spirit. Such a man doesn't provide occasion for the devil to find a connecting point to seek the possibility of leverage. So Job, being a perfect man, I don't have time to take you through the full book of Job and show you how he used his tongue. Now, Eve was not trained, and the moment Satan came with a discussion, Eve was willing to discuss with Satan. And even though Satan was finding occasion to take advantage of her ignorance of his intention, Eve was without discernment. And all the information that Satan needed in order for him to get them outside of the will of God, he got it from Eve. I remember we went to pray for someone that was afflicted. And we prayed for him and there was no change in the situation. And for me, that's an object of investigation. Because I'm sure of my alignment with God. So we went and prayed for him and there was no change. And then the wife now felt there was something we needed to know. Okay, what was the problem? She said before this affliction came, she had been crying. Her husband had been asking for death. Say, death, where are you? So that affliction that came was, death was far away. Far away, maybe somewhere in Nigeria Republic, wreaking havoc. The man was calling death. And he called death for like 1 year. Eventually, when death now showed up, he didn't want to die again. May the Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. We went to buy a land somewhere in a very remote community. In order to clear your doubts, it's somewhere in Tiveland, but I will not disclose the location. And they said, okay, if we buy the land, there are some community settlements that we need to do. And we were in the process of settling the community as prescribed. And then I began to engage the youth leader. And the youth leader was speaking in the hearing of the elders of the community that we came to settle. So when he made a statement, I now interpreted the statement for him. He quickly withdrew that is not what it means, that he doesn't want problem with the elders. You see, that statement alone has exposed, if that is what it means, he's exposed already. He's a victim. Because those people sitting there, we find him through the means of witchcraft and sorcery. So he repented in public. If you see the elders that were sitting, they were frail with walking sticks. They were about to die. But the young man knew what he was afraid of. And in those quarters, you will need to be trained on how to use. You can't talk anyhow. When spiritual matters are in view, you can't talk anyhow. Those that have training in the way of enchantment, because what enchantment is the ability to give instructions to devils. So it will interest you to know that in some countries, witchcraft is offered now as a course. I heard that the first graduates came out last year. BSc witchcraft. It's a science. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Well, enchantment is the ability to give instructions to devils. And many times, in order to activate spells, you need to learn the original language, which most of the time is in Celtic language. I'm talking about witchcraft from the European perspective, okay? You need to learn the intonation. You need to learn how to give the instruction to devils. Even though we have a local dimension of enchantment, which is consistent with our own local dialect, right? Now, if you have ever seen enchantment, somebody doing enchantment and the demons were summoned, if you have ever seen that physically, you will know how powerful your vocal power, your vocal cord is in the equation of spiritual dynamics. The Bible says, any man that does not offend in word, the same is what? A perfect man. So, you need to train yourself not to be speaking negative things about yourself. Because there are demons that can fetch these things that you are speaking, and at the appointed time, those stray utterances that you have made becomes a weapon that Satan uses to justify the reason why he needs to come into your space. So the Bible said Job was a perfect man. There are examples of how Job used his tongue. It was suggestive of the fact that he was a well-gathered and a very well-bridled man. So he doesn't give Satan occasion by reason of the use of his vocal cord. May you be a wise man in the name of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Bible says that Job was an upright man, an upright man. I checked the original linguistic position from whence the word upright was derived, and it translates to straight, very straight. So if you have dealings with him, he will not bend it. If he's testifying about the contract he has with you, it is straight. Part of, you know, Satan has so many names in the Bible, and one of the names Satan has is the crooked serpent. The crooked serpent. And this name exists vis-a-vis the kind of alignment that is needed in the realm of God. For instance, God was in a circle of unbroken love in eternity. Hallelujah. There was no conflict. There was no crisis. There was no challenge in the communion he sustained in himself in eternity past. The first time God had a challenge, a conflict, heartbreak, it was when he allowed man to come into the circle of love that he shared in himself. And the reason for which he had the heartbreak was because the serpent, the crooked serpent, had entered into man's universe and he had made man crooked. You see, there is a trend of harmony, a trend of alignment that exists in the Godhead. And God wants us to be partaker of that trend of alignment. It happens to be that God is a righteous personality by nature. Are you with me? Now, you are going to miss God the moment you begin to imbibe the ways of the crooked serpent. The crooked serpent wants to push you out of alignment. He wants you to sustain an orientation that will make it impossible for you to do business in the atmosphere of uprightness and alignment that exists in God. The first time man missed God, it was under the influence, the guidance, and the suggestions that he got from the crooked serpent. His ways became crooked. It became impossible, therefore, after man had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for him to contact God. What happened to man was that man declared independence against God. Because the crooked serpent came and suggested to man that if you eat of this fruit, you will realize that the God that you are looking for to submit to, you'll just find out that you are that God. So you'll not need to go seeking another God. There is Godness inside of you. That was the message he preached to man. And man now took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and became crooked. So you see, Satan in his nature is crooked. God in his nature is righteous. And someone that subscribes to the nature of God and is willing to live under the auspices of the dictates of God's nature must of necessity become upright. So uprightness is a product of alignment to the nature of God. Then we have the fear of God. I like you. I think one of the books of the Bible where we can study the fear of God is the book of Proverbs. So I had to go through the book of Proverbs afresh today in order for me to find out the things that are written in the book of Proverbs about the fear of God. So come with me as we take the ride. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. I want to take a ride through the book of Proverbs and see. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Can you see that long life is an offshoot of the fear of the Lord? And if you live long, it means that you had a shield that shielded you from him that kills, him that steals, and him that destroys. So one of the protective gears that we may need to wear is the protective gear called the fear of God. The fear of God prolonged days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So a man that subscribes to the ways of wickedness is doing that at the expense of his longevity. Proverbs 14 verse 27. Just trying to show you why the fear of God cannot be removed from the template of uprightness. It is a shield in itself. And the one speaking here is God, Jehovah, that set up the table and the just scales and balances of the spirit. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So the fear of the Lord itself is protective in nature. And when you subscribe to it, you are shielded from death. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. Did I give you a wrong? 19, verse 22. The fear of the Lord tended to life, and he that had it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now, so you have seen the nature of the fear of God. It is, it shields, it protects, it's a guarantee for a long life. So when you find a man that believes that, you know, it was in Abuja. A certain man said the only kind of women he wants to sleep with are pregnant women. So he's going out by 4 p.m., when people are closing from work, he's driving around to look for a pregnant woman. So when you see such a man, it is death that is calling him. That desire that he has, the desire to chase pregnant women, is actually the voice of death that he heard that has drawn him into that path. The fear of the Lord has inherent in it, the ability to prolong your days. Fear of the Lord is a precursor of life. The fear of the Lord guarantees that you will not be visited by evil. Now, so we have seen the things that the fear of the Lord does. But I need to show you some of the inner properties of the fear of God. Proverbs 14 verse 26. Inner properties of the fear of God. He said, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. See, if you know anything about spiritual clothing, are you there? Do you still remember Goliath? How did he die? There was a hole in his armor. And when you want to fight spiritually, you must ensure that there is no hole in your armor. And that's why we have something called the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness covers this way. Because the first place that Satan needs to puncture in order for him to have access to your life is your conscience. A man whose conscience is flat cannot walk in faith. And Satan knows that. So he needs to puncture your conscience. And it is for that reason that we are guarded with a breastplate of righteousness. Now, the state of confidence is one of the currencies of the spirit. Confidence. I'm not talking about bold face or maybe you are just looking bold. No, I'm talking about a confidence that comes from the Spirit of God. Things like assurance, they are currencies in the Spirit. Confidence. Conviction. That's how we win. If you don't win in the soul, you will lose on the ground. When you find a man that is confident, he is en route the path of victory. When you find a man that is assured, he is delivered from the possibility of doubting when Satan begins to whisper. Our victories must be won because there is a shield that we carry that garrisons our soul so that our faith is intact. Our conviction is intact. As you travel with that conviction, it's a proof that there's going to be a manifestation in the days to come. I have been pregnant for quite a while. For instance, and I've carried a lot of pregnancies. One of the pregnancies I carried for many years is the pregnancy of this place you are sitting down now. It's older than the construction. It was alive in my spirit and in the spirits of my brethren here. We have prayed, we saw it. We prayed, we knew that God was going to set up a base, an apostolic base in the heart of Benue State to coordinate the affairs of revival. We were sure of that. And that was a currency that we had. Our assurance was predicated on a currency. And that currency was the basis of our confidence. If you know the world of faith, you will understand that that confidence is mighty in value. The Bible says, cast not away your confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of reward. So we kept the confidence alive, even though there were situations that were designed by the devil to abort the confidence. And it came to pass after 14 years of pregnancy that what we were pregnant with is no longer in the spirit realm. It was downloaded. It is real. It is substance. It is tangible. So for a man of the spirit, your confidence is a critical matter. And if by any means something troubles your conviction or throws you off balance in the spirit, it is an evidence of the fact that something that you held on to has been aborted. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. A man that walks in the fear of God is sure that he cannot be a victim of satanic attack. There is an assurance that comes, not because of head knowledge, but assurance that comes because of an impartation of the Spirit that keeps him in balance. You begin to feel vulnerable, sense vulnerability, the moment you begin to lose track of your fear of God, and you have begun to compromise one or two things, this confidence is going to be lost. There's a confidence that comes on the account of your compliance to the fear of God. Are you there? Now, this is why it was critical for Job to be identified as a man that feared God. All right. Proverbs 15 verse 33. So the fear of God administers confidence, spiritual confidence. The fear of the Lord is also the instruction of wisdom. You see, if you allow yourself to be ruled by the fear of God, you will make decisions that will protect your life and preserve your destiny. If you refuse to allow yourself to be ruled by the fear of the Lord, you will make decisions that will expose your life and expose your destiny. Hallelujah. I say, hallelujah. We went for a training in Calabar. When we arrived there, the venue of the training was in a hotel called Gomez Plaza. Gomez. For those people that know Calabar, they're already laughing. Gomez Plaza. They know what happened at Gomez. Of all the hotels in that town, the officials were looking for a place to site the training. There are so many hotels in Calabar. I preached there for a while, and I've been hosted in different wonderful places. One of them is Azari Hotel. Powerful place. They didn't take us there. They took us to Gomez. By 5 p.m., when you just stroll out of Gomez Plaza, you will see naked ladies, just naked body. It's like a depot. A depot for ladies. And all those ladies, none of them was ugly. All of them are extremely beautiful, hanging by the roadside. Apart from the training that brought us there, another attraction captured my colleagues. An attraction that was more capturing, more captivating than the training itself. It was a product of Gomez. Now, the Bible is saying, it is the fear of God, because when we all came out, when I noticed those products, what I did was I went back to Gomez and booked for a room there so that my activity throughout my stay for the training will be inside of Gomez Plaza. Because to be coming out and beholding that thing 5 times during the course of the training can vex a righteous soul. You see, it was the fear of God in me that gave me that wisdom to perch inside and be delivered. So after the training, I just go upstairs and I go to my room. Order for my dinner. They bring it, I eat. I sleep. In the morning, I'm in the course. When we finish, I go upstairs. So I did not come outside of the hotel until we finished 12 o'clock on Friday. And as at the time we finished the course on Friday, 12 o'clock, the products had not yet come. So we're able to safely move to the next airport, the nearest airport, for our trip. The fear of God will give you wisdom. And that wisdom that the fear of God will make available to you will protect you. It's protective in nature. So the Bible is saying that with the fear of God is the instruction of wisdom. There is an instruction. There is direction, there is teaching, there is education that comes out of the fountain of the fear of God. And it is preservative in nature. We're talking about spiritual covering. We're just using the life of Job as a case study. And finally, the Bible says concerning Job that he was a man that eschewed evil. He rebuked evil. He had zero tolerance for evil. And then the scripture comes to mind quickly. That's Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. This scripture comes to mind quickly when it was said that Job eschewed evil. This scripture popped up. He said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Many of us here love righteousness, but Your hatred for iniquity must be equivalent to your love for righteousness. Now, let me give you an instance, an idea. Are you with me? I had an invitation to preach somewhere. The pastor of the church that was inviting me, that same pastor knows about another pastor. Right? This another pastor that I'm talking about has been living in immorality for a long time. And the pastor who invited me knows about it. Are you there? You're not following me. So, when the poster of the meeting came out, I was on the poster. And the other pastor was on the poster. And I called him and said, it's unfortunate that I can't attend your meeting. And the only reason why I cannot attend your meeting is because we don't share the same values. Are you with me? He felt I was a Jew. He felt I was not real. In his attempt to make me real, he now said in his city, the city where he pastors, 8 out of 10 pastors have a concubine. So why am I stressing this issue about immorality? It's becoming unreasonable. So the fact that 8 out of 10 pastors have a concubine in your city now makes it the standard, because your city is the Bible. That relationship is strained till tomorrow, even till next tomorrow. The strain is on it. The reason is because we don't share the same value. You might not consider this decision I took to be necessary. Is it not just about preaching and going? No, for me, it's not about that. One of the things, the reasons why God was telling me why he sent me to Makurdi, he said, I sent you to Makurdi so that I can preserve you from the iniquity that was trafficked here and there, so that you be preserved. So if God was so committed to my life as to give me an instruction that will preserve me, I will not be the one that will now take a decision that will expose me. God was deliberate about preserving me. I sent you to Makurdi. The corruption has not yet come to your city that much. So you can do my business, do your business without colliding with the corruption. And I thank him that he sent me to Makurdi. Hallelujah. Oh, a lot of people that hear that story say, oh, he's just full of himself. And do you know what? Job loved righteousness. And he did what? He hated iniquity. If by any means that pastor did not know the status of the person he wanted to invite, I would have said it's ignorant. Do you understand that? But he knows. So for him, ministry is performance. Just keep it going. Get the actors that can stir the ground and keep the business rolling. I will not be part of that your business. There are many decisions you will take if you hate wickedness as much as you love righteousness. God told me that the time has come for us to pioneer purity. And when God is calling you to pioneer purity, it must begin with your own life and your household. So there are many decisions I have taken because God was raising me to pioneer the message of purity. Many years. In fact, when I came to Lagos and they stole my car, God didn't allow me buy a car for 7 years. I was using the yellow buses of Lagos that you know. Meanwhile, my salary in 1 month was enough for me to buy a car. In 1 month, was enough for me to buy a car. As exorbitant as Lagos was, my salary in 1 month can pay my house rent for 1 year. Yes. As exorbitant as it was. I was not a poor man when I was in Lagos. I had hit beyond a million in my salary long time when I was in Lagos. And someone whose salary is beyond a million is moving in yellow buses. And after 7 years of fulfilling that instruction, God said, the reason why I allowed you to use yellow buses is so that you will know that a man's life does not consist in the possessions that he has. I say you would have just spoken to me in a dream and say, oh my son, it 7 years on the buses. He purged every desire to own and to have. And there's nothing, God knows that there's nothing that is under my power today that I cannot give out if he instructs it. I will give it willingly. I will not even grudge. There will be no grudging. I will give it up. I've seen the futility of possessions. Because I lived for those 7 years without a car and I was happy. So happy. Those were the days of Julius Berger construction from Orile to Maitu. Those of you that know that exists. It takes me 3 hours from Orile to Maitu because of the construction. That's 3 hours of tongues. I do 6 hours of tongues every day because 3 hours to go, 3 hours to come back. You know Maitu? Just from to Orile is 3 hours. This prayer will not change it. It is still 3 hours. So in that bus, I will be praying in tongues and I enjoy those moments. Meanwhile, if you say you want to drive that length, because of the holdup, you will end up with Parkinson's disease after 7 years. The end of the day, he said, this is so that you will know that your life doesn't consist in the possessions that are under your hand. That was how I was delivered from running after possessions. I was just unpacking my room today. I saw some of my fine clothes that I like so much. I didn't know they were there for like 2 years. Those clothes. If I had known, maybe somebody else would be wearing them now. So, what use were those clothes to me for 2 years that I did not know they were there? So I can't start running after possessions. Right now. Are you there? There are many, many trainings that God will give you. And many decisions you begin to take just because you hate it. And it's not a popular lifestyle, so people will call you Jew. Just get set to be called names. But it's wisdom that is at work. When it's evaluated by a human mind, they will call it backwardness and foolishness until after a while. It will be evident that you were actually walking in wisdom. Wisdom doesn't look like wisdom when it's been implemented. It is only when wisdom begins to produce results that people call it wisdom. Have you seen that the scripture says that wisdom is justified by her children, not justified by her pattern, her strategy, her work? It looks foolish, it looks backward, it looks archaic when you are practicing it. But when it begins to produce results, everybody can identify with it that indeed this was wisdom at work. Because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Hating iniquity becomes the open route into a higher anointing above others. Sometimes when God wants to make a statement in a generation, he looks for a man and anoints him above others. He's saying something. And when you check the life of that man, every time, it is because of his love for righteousness and his hatred for iniquity. So this was the fourfold lifestyle that Job sustained. And this is lifestyle was the reason for which there was an infrastructure around his life called the
hedge.
So the hedge is a spiritual covering available to you because of your personal labor for uprightness. All right, let's go into the second level of covering. The first one is edge. Hey, this class, are you following me? The first one is what? The hedge. And hedge, the hedge dimension is a product of what? Personal righteousness, personal holiness. That's what produces that hedge. So when God sees in your life that there's personal righteousness, what he will do is that he will create a hedge around you. God wants to protect righteous people. He has a scheme in heaven. There is a policy from heaven to protect righteous people. And it is that policy that moves God into setting up a hedge around one that is committed to a life of righteousness. So we are going to the second spiritual, second level, number two. Spiritual covering. Now, I need to read two scriptures before I mention what that type of covering is. Maybe the first scripture will be Hebrews 11. Are you there with me? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. I will need to define power in a different context this evening in order for me to make the point that I want to make. Right? Because for many of us in this room, your understanding of power ends with signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's powerful, but it's not complete. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3 is my emphasis. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the third factor there is of concern to me, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Somebody say, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, it means that there is a measure, a percentage of the power of God that is released to uphold things. You are not following me. But I understand your confusion. I have not landed yet. So let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 8. There is a part of the power of God that is released to uphold things. To uphold things. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything as I have done. Verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Are you there with me? Now, this was what happened. God had meted out vengeance on the wicked wall. And Noah found grace in the sight of God. And God made a way of escape for Noah. And the way of escape in those days was the ark that he built by God's instruction. When Noah came out of the ark, Noah had an additional understanding of God that probably Adam did not have. He knew that God was a God of judgment, a God of vengeance, and that if God destroyed the world before, he could destroy the world again. So he wanted to bargain with God. So he came and offered a burnt offering. And the burnt sacrifice he offered was drawn from clean creatures, creatures that the fall did not affect. And he was asking God in the intercession of the sacrifice that he made, whatsoever you did to these creatures that the fall did not affect them, can you do it to creation so that we that are left will be able to have a predictable future? So the Bible says God repented about that judgment. He was not happy about the impact of the judgment. He said, all right, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You see, part of God's power, you know, we read that scripture that says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Part of God's power is invested in the sustainability of principles. Are you with me? Part of God's power is invested in principles, to make principles sustained. So, if you know the principles or you do not know the principles, if you violate them, you are exposed. If you align with them, you are covered. As long as the earth remains, there are principles. God had made seed time and harvest constant. God has made cold and heat constant. God has made day and night constant. Part of his power was released to support these things, to uphold these things. So when we talk about the gospel of power, it is inclusive of signs and wonders and mighty acts occasioned by God's sovereignty. It is also inclusive of principles that God puts in place to uphold things, to sustain cycles and circles. So we have the nitrogen cycle. It's the power of God that is holding that cycle. We have the oxygen cycle. So there are cycles, there are circles, and there are principles. Whether you know these principles or not, the principles will influence you. And if you don't know it, you are going to be exposed because you are not likely to align with the principles. And the reason why God put the principles is because somebody interceded. Are you there with me? Can we do some principle check? I know these are the types you don't like. But you see, unfortunately, you have a wrong pastor, me. The only thing I know how to do is to show you the truth. And I don't care how you feel about it, you know. I don't care. Because the truth is not emotional. Those of you that are scientists in our midst, you know that acceleration due to gravity is what? If you cry, it doesn't change. Is static, is fixed. That's how truth is. And the moment you stand with truth, truth has the ability to divide. Alright? If you stand and say, this is the truth, it means you cannot be, if you say your own acceleration due to gravity is 9.8 meters per second, it cannot be 10.7 meters per second. Do you understand that? So somebody has to be right and somebody has to be wrong. And that's what happens when truth becomes the basis for the business. It divides people that are operating accurately from people that are not operating accurately. Now, in this day of relativism, they're trying to introduce relativism to doctrine. Some of the conflicts we have had with shallow minds that do not understand that the Word of God has its own logic. The concept of principles and concepts of human worldviews do not affect the thing that is a fixed star. Are you still with me? All right, so let's do a principle check quickly. You may not like this section, but but you see, I'm the one with the mic today. So when you take hold of the mic, you can operate as you are led. Let's check, principle check. Malachi chapter 3. I will need to do a very robust presentation on this subject, and this principle check will take us for four classes. Four classes, right? Because we need to do a thorough principle check. Because this second covering, are you there? The first one we studied is the hedge. You still remember the hedge? So the second one here, second covering here, is what we call the principle covering. Covering by principle. If you know the right principles to apply, to align with, as my father in the Lord will always say, you will be exempted from fighting principalities. Because there's an aspect of God's power that is vested in those principles. So all you need to do to have covering is to align with the principles, operate with the principles, and the power that is vested in it will sail you through. Irrespective of demons and the serpent that is in River Benue. This evening, the focus is not the serpent in River Benue. If you know the principles and you're operating it, in spite of the serpent, we are not denying that it's not there. In spite of the serpent, your own life will be an evidence that there is power vested in those principles to cover you from the situation that the serpent creates. All right, Malachi. Before you get me wrong, I need to show you the entire scope of the burden that is in the book of Malachi. Are you still with me? Now, so this is what is in the book of Malachi, the principle that God wants to teach in the book of Malachi through the utterance of the prophet Malachi in Malachi chapter 3 is the principle of honor. So, you know, I told you we'll do four classes on these principles. If you are accurate with all the principles, there is no way Satan can hold on to any aspect of your life. This is how we know who is wise and who is foolish. The principles that you operate. That's what differentiates one man from another. So, in Malachi chapter 3, the principle that is at work here is the principle of honor. Don't ever forget the principle of honor. That's the first principle. In fact, in the entire Bible, that's the first principle that was laid out. But I'm using the book of Malachi because it seems to provide context and perspective to establish the principle so adequately. If you are still with me, say amen. So let me let us begin from verse 7. Malachi chapter 3, beginning from verse 7. And what we are trying to dig out is the first principle in this class of principles. Okay? Which is the principle of honor. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Okay? Then he's showing us where we will return. He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in office. Oh, I forgot my diary. In my diary, I've conducted the research. I did it like a few years ago. And I can show you the principle of honor from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. I've done that study. Okay? It's in my diary. You know, in order for a man to have authority to teach the scripture, he must have studied it and seen the trends and the patterns. Not just studying one scripture in isolation, but understanding the thread of truth that runs through the entire Bible. I have done that. Now, the issue of tithes I mentioned here is going to attract a lot of people online, because some people believe that tithing is not New Testament. The first question you need to ask such people is Melchizedek Old Testament or New Testament? Can you answer Melchizedek? The Melchizedek priesthood. Is it Old Testament or New Testament? The framework of the New Testament priesthood is the Melchizedek priesthood. Is that true? Right. Second question I need to ask you quickly is this. Was Abraham under the dispensation of the law or under the dispensation of grace? Because the Bible reveals that Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible says that Levi, in the loins of Abraham, gave Melchizedek tithes in the book of Hebrews. It means that the Melchizedek priesthood receives tithes. And if the Melchizedek priesthood is eternal, you will give tithes in heaven. So, you see, that's why I said that the Bible has its own logic. So a lot of people are talking Bible. No. Let's sit down and follow the logic of the Bible. The Bible has its logic. And if you follow the logic of the Bible can interpret the Bible, the Bible can define the Bible can explain the Bible. And that's why I spoke about the thread of divine revelation from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Now that you know that the Melchizedek priesthood is New Testament, so the subject of tithe is no longer alien to you, because Melchizedek priesthood takes tithes. And he took it in Abraham. And you will notice that Jacob had a revelation of tithing that was not the law. Way before the law showed up, he made a promise of tithes, because in the spiritual heritage of his family, there were tithing at that time by reason of the encounter that Abraham had with Melchizedek. So tithing was a culture. And Jacob spoke about a commitment of tithing to God if God could do some things. And indeed, God did those things. And that order was established before the Levitical priesthood ever existed. Because I know the arguments around all these things. The point is, people don't teach the Bible again. People want to argue scripture. And most people that want to argue have not taken time to study and to comprehend the entire Bible. The entire concept. The thing, the idea that God is selling. Because in Bible knowledge, you don't just pick one scripture and make a conclusion from it. You need to consult every scripture that speaks on the subject in order for you to have a balanced position. Because there's something we call scripture reconciliation. One scripture can be saying something totally different from your position. If you are going to be accurate, you need to reconcile them. Exactly? All right, so we'll finish that. He said, will a man rob God? He said, yet ye have robbed me. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Go to the next verse. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me. So we are seeing a principle here. And just like I told you, if you read from Malachi chapter 1, you will see that the principle that God is dealing with is the principle of honor. God wants to be honored. Are you there? God, as the creator of the universe, as the God and sovereign over creation, he wants to be honored. And he's telling us how we can honor him. He says, bring tithes to me. Are you there? Now, from the moment I studied my Bible and found out about the principle of honor that is fulfilled in tithing, I have tithed from that time to even today. Some of us, what we give cannot enter the basket, this basket that they carry around. That is, when they carry it around, it's for you, not for me. Right? In tithes, in offerings. That's how you rob me. And because you rob me, you have violated the principle of honor, and the implication is that ye are cursed. So, you see, it is possible for you to operate and be shielded from this curse. It's as if the curse is available, and when you operate the principle, you'll be shielded from it. But if you do not operate the principle, you'll be exposed to it. We are talking about spiritual covering. Okay, go on. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. I will explain this scripture if you give me time. Yes, next. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, there is a demon called the devourer. If the title of our teaching is spiritual covering, the principle you need to adopt in order for you to be delivered from the devourer is called faithfulness in tithe and offering. Should I tell you something? If you have enough to eat, you have enough to give. And if you are going to see the blessings of God, you need to deliberately practice giving when you have nothing. What we are talking about is not the amount, it's the faithfulness to the principle of honor. The implication of being faithful to the principle of honor is that God is going to open over your life the windows of heaven. And I've told you before about the three metaphors: windows, doors, and gates. And I told you that windows refer to blessings. Blessings. And the form in which blessings come, because if you see the way it was written in verse number 10, it says when those windows are open, you will not have room enough to contain the blessings. And I challenged people the other time whether there was any money that your bank account cannot carry. Because he said, if the blessings, if he opens the window of heaven, you will have blessings that you don't have room enough to contain. The form in which these blessings exist is not in Naira and Kobo. The form in which those blessings exist is in form of ideas and concepts that your mind cannot fully contain. It's beyond your mind. So the room spoken about there is your mind. So when God opens the window of heaven over your life, what will manifest in your life is that you start having ideas of how, of productivity, ideas of what to do in order for you to come out of poverty. That's the true currency of wealth, ideas. Are you with me? The true currency of wealth is in the form of ideas. And that is what God floods your heart with when you begin to acknowledge the principle of honor and to fulfill the requirement of honor. And the Bible goes further to say, are you there? There are two things you'll be delivered with. One from. One is a curse. Secondly, a demon called a devourer. And that demon, you cannot cast it out. You don't have authority to cast it out. It is only God that has the authority to cast out the devourer. And he says when you begin to become consistent in your tithing and in your offering, He will now rebuke the devourer. If we are talking about spiritual covering, we cannot avoid this second level, which is covering by principles. Covering by principles. A lot of people can go on Facebook and argue about tithing and all of that. That's for them. You know, we that have practiced tithing for almost 20 years and 20 something years, and we have seen the result, we don't argue about it. Go and win the argument and you stop tithing. But some of us that study the Bible and understand the logic of the mind of God will keep practicing it. And you will see the difference, because wisdom is always justified by her children. Wisdom. Wisdom can be so controversial, but you see, if wisdom will win, it is not in the argument. You can even win the argument. But it's when wisdom produces results that it cannot be denied. So we have the principle of honor. It seems I have to stop there today. We need this class of principles. We will need to explore a lot of things and then open up the scope so that our eyes will be open. We are supposed to have advantage because we are sons of the kingdom of God. The wisdom of God is available to us. The principle of what? Of honor. So you will find scriptures like, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. And we need to emphasize this in this time of meltdown. Never in the history of our country has the value of the naira dropped so much. We have some bankers in our midst. They can tell us better. And just in case you don't understand all the macro and microeconomic dynamics, attempt to build a house and you'll be taught practical lessons. It's okay, you need iron rods. When you take a bag of money to the building materials market, then you see the purchasing power of your naira and you will weep for the land. No government wants you to advance. No government wants you. Don't die for any politician. Live for Jesus. It is by the principles that God has put in place that you are going to be upheld, not because of any government. We sons of Zion, we live according to the principles of the scripture. If you can be faithful to the principles of the scripture, you will see the power that God has vested in them manifested in your life. When I was 3 years old, you know, I started reading very early, right? So when I was like 3 years old, I could read newspapers. 3.5 years old, I could read newspapers. And my cousins were always intimidated by my capacity of comprehension. And it came to pass that at the end of the day, I became a pastor. They were expecting me to be a professor, to be, see, so now pastor you do. Hallelujah. You know what they were talking about. You just wasted. We had. So that's when they told me that when they come back home, their parents will say, can't you see your brother? He was reading, see all of you blockheads. So you ended up becoming. You know what? I didn't just want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a pastor that knows the ways of God. I want to be a consultant. So that when somebody comes with crisis, even nations with crisis, I say, according to the counsel of the Lord, the decrees of God, you do this, you do that, and you do this, and the rain will come again. That's the kind of person. Oh, Jesus. So because people felt, my cousins felt disappointed, because I ended up becoming a pastor. I studied the Bible so that the truth of the word of God will be my defense. I can tell you something after many years of laboring in the word of God, that the principles of God, any other thing can fail, not the principles of the word of God. Because there is power vested in them for your good. So we are going to look at some principles. We just did the principle of honor today. And in fact, I've not finished it. I'll show you the vast island of the principles of honor and why God must be honored. The meaning of honor. Because even that money you claim to be making as your salary is not enough. I hope you know that. That's why you need to honor God with a portion. And when you do that, are you there? God now sees that you now know that your resources are not sufficient. So he now comes to become your sufficiency. I remember, I promised my wife that I'm going to build her school for her when I was cutting her. When you are in a relationship, don't promise anything. Are you following? Bridle your tongue. Don't say anything. So I promised, I said, but one day we were in a meeting like this, the power of God hit her. Before she reached the ground, she saw a school. So she knew that God is going to use her to raise a school anywhere we settle. So the time came for the promise to be fulfilled. The only money I had was $2,000. We went to First Bank, Otupo Road here, for the dollars. They said they don't have dollars in Otupo, that I should go to Boko. I traveled to Boko. It was in Boko that they gave me my $2,000. I thought it was big money. We changed it. And I said I should put the money into the foundation. And I had saved how much? I saved 9 million over a period of time. So I was boasting. Came to the engineers and said, take 9 million and these dollars. When they laid the foundation for two-story building, the 9 million did not, the money, 9 million of materials, the foundation did not come out of the ground, it was still. That's how limited you are. Your best cannot lay a foundation. And I saw my futility. Then I remembered, in my discouragement, I remembered that God was the one that said, I can start building the school now. So I went back to him. Hey, if not that, I heard him. I went back to him and said, okay, do you realize that the money has finished? God waited for me to get to that point. When there was no money again, then he now started working. That was how that school was built. It is the same thing that happened here. He spoke and said, start building that building now. I said, I went again to cross check. You say we should start? Because you need to be mad to start this building. The foundation was 55 million. Who? What? That's a building. For God's sake. You need to be mad, crazy to do that. But you see, you know what? I had passed this school before. I waited for him to talk first. And then we started. The principles never fail. I remember when we built the first floor in my wife's school, I climbed on that floor and I told Satan, this part of the building is no longer in the spirit realm. It's the natural realm. And you couldn't stop it. You will not stop the other one that will mount. Anytime another floor is decked, I will climb there and stand and say, Satan, we brought this one down from the spirit realm. And you were there, you couldn't stop it. You will not stop the other floor. Till we got up, till the roof came. I used to come here every Sunday to tell Satan, this thing is not in your hand. It's the great monarch that wants to show his strength. He said we should build and there will be nothing that you can do about it. When the foundation was laid, I rejoiced and spoke in tongues for long on the foundation, celebrating how this one has come out of the spiritual. That's what I celebrated each pillar that came into this place. I celebrated the slab that sat on it. I celebrated oh my God. In the city of Makodi is a sign for all men to see. That if you walk with the principles, irrespective of your location, your tribe, the name of your family, your circumstance, your situation, the principles are superior to your circumstance. Can we pray in a moment? I am willing to walk with you. I am willing to walk with you. So we are going to do the principle class for 4 days. 4 classes. And then you will see that there is something bigger, stronger than the power of darkness. Can you reaffirm your commitment to walking by the principles of God? Reaffirm your commitment. God wants to protect you from the devourer. There is a demon, a loose entity of darkness seeking opportunity to plunder. God said, if I can see evidence of your honor before me, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. 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 As a devourer been plundering, God will shield you from the economic weather. Your sojourning in the wilderness will be ended. He will shield you from the storm that bedeviled the sons of men. He has vested some of his power in some principles. You take cover from principalities when you begin to apply these principles in your life. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Thy presses shall burst forth. Thy presses shall burst forth. I will rebuke the devourer. For your sake. It was an in hombre salibada. E con che lavoro così che da lì compraitamo. Siamo lanteri. Già coschetto prenda babori bacada. E a tosi copraschito preta. La dosa sacanande. Raita suke bresco filamo. Rakosesi na hantelia, risa konde, marato se di bakadia, indoro dobo soketama, indoro dobo siko brasketo minagadia, ria siko berato skido brondo, mande kosiko santalia. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Because where we are now is called the class of principles. So we are in the class where we study principles. Can you give me Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 1? He said the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Then the next verse, are you there? Where's my... He now gives us insight into the reason why the book was written. First reason. This book is written so that you will know wisdom and instruction. It means that every form of wisdom that you adopt has an attendant instruction attached to it. If you say you want to receive wisdom from Azor Spirit, there are elaborate instructions that you need to receive in order for you to walk in Azor wisdom. If you say you want to receive wisdom from God, you cannot separate the wisdom of God from the instructions that that wisdom provides. Are you there? Oh, you are not with me. Are you here? No. You know the reason why I'm showing the introduction of this book? Because in the wisdom class, in the, what did I call it? Principle class, the book of Proverbs is our textbook. It says to know wisdom and instruction. That's number one. True. Are you there? I hope you know there are different levels of wisdom. There's divine wisdom, there's human wisdom, there's demonic wisdom. So if you pass through the book of Proverbs, you will be able to discern how divine wisdom operates. And you'll be able to separate it from demonic or human wisdom. So he said, I want you to know wisdom. And the way you will know the type of wisdom that you are operating with is the instruction that accompanies. When you hear the instruction, you will know where it comes from. Secondly, he said to perceive the words of understanding. The word understanding means comprehension. Now, we are not talking about comprehension that comes because you study a book. Are you with me? No. The Bible says there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them comprehension. There are things you can comprehend because you study a book or you sat before a lecturer. Those things are not spiritual things. In order for you to comprehend a spiritual thing, you must be inspired by the Spirit of God to be brought to the point of understanding. You know the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 45, then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Before he conducted that surgery on them, he explained scripture to them, but scripture was not enough to achieve comprehension. And the Bible says he opened. Part of the reason why the book was written is so that we can perceive the words that derive from an adequate comprehension of the position of God on certain matters. Next verse. He said to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Ah, that is righteousness. As we study, you will find out that this thing we call wisdom works hand in hand with uprightness, with purity, with righteousness. In fact, righteousness is the shape of wisdom. Because the Bible... Okay, let me not trouble you. Let me just show you an introduction. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. Attaining to wise counsels is drawn from understanding principles that are upheld by the power of God. So you will know what decision to make according to the principles that are available. A man that does not have this orientation can never make the choices you will make. It is a system that will afford you the opportunity to attain to wise counsels. Yes, finally. If you read the book, you will be able to understand a proverb. This is the application of the book and the interpretation thereof. The words of the wise and their dark things. It's not every word of wisdom that is easy to comprehend. Some of them are shrouded in parables and idioms. But if you know the principles that they walk around, you'll be able to see beyond the darkness and understand what is at work. So this book is a book of discernment. To open your inner eye to perceive the things that men rush and never get to see. That's the class we want to go. The class of the principles of God. My Jesus Christ. Can we pray? God needs to open our eyes. Somebody came to visit me and the person thought that I was a wise man. He thought so. See, you did this thing like this so years ago because you knew that this thing will happen. I didn't know. I was just operating by the principle. As times and seasons were coming, there were evidences to show that I was on the right track. The one that had the knowledge and the insight was God. Oh, you don't get it. There's an extent to which the wisdom of man can take you. But we are flying beyond the wisdom of man. We are going into the wisdom of God. He said, that's why the book was written. There are words given only to the wise. And most of those words are shrouded in parables and idioms. But if you know the skeleton of the architecture, you will see beyond the darkness and the things they want to hide. And you will know the principle that is at work. He said, I want to conduct a surgery and open up wisdom to you so that you will see all the appendages that abide therein. Then your life can be ordered accurately. Oh my. Oh my. Can we pray tonight? That during the course of these days, open my understanding. Open my understanding. Open. And you are going to take time to study the book of Proverbs on your own before we begin the lecture. Open my understanding. Let my capacity be open so that I will be able to discern the words of understanding. Let the secrets by which you ordained life to be lived, let it be given to us on our fingertips. Sia mama meko sane. Sia mama mere. Sovila he, sovila yamo. Aile so megama. It's the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. And for the way of wisdom.